Vargan Basement Productions, in association with the Penny Pincher Players, presents Murder Under a Malathion Moon, a mystery for radio in four parts, written and directed by Aaron Connolly and Jackie Loebland, engineered by Chris Matthews, with a musical score by Dawn Richardson. In episode two, Midge and Sini are still on the trail of Fancy Nails. To add to the confusion, Astral Trad is blackmailed into going to Australia and setting up some kind of business. From a photo, they know Astral's blackmailer is a woman with a Gucci bag. Steve Trusty, LA's second best private eye, is being paid by Genghis Pop, president of Dino Disc Records, to trail Tippi Drake because he suspects her of his wife's murder. Sini finds out that Rick Ladick, a hot new artist on Dino Disc Records, has undergone an extreme personality change. We catch up with Midge and Sini at Lana Levine's party, where they are in desperate search of a drink. And after a synopsis like the one you just heard, you probably are too. Now part three of Murder Under a Malathion Moon.
Wow, anybody who's anybody is here.
Yeah, and that makes me feel like nobody who's nobody. Did you spot the food table?
Yeah, it's right over there. You got the plastic-lined purse?
Yeah, but don't put any salad dressing in this time, all right?
There's something strange about this place. I know what it is. You can see your reflection in every single thing in this room. Oh my God, Sini, look at that plant over there. I can see myself on its leaves. Oh, great. What a night to have a big old zit on my chin.
Look out, Midge. Here comes Lana the Medusa. Don't look into her eyes, Midge. You might turn to stone.
Hello, Teeny, Midge. So glad you could make it.
Hi, Lana.
Yeah.
Have you helped yourselves to the food? There's plenty.
Oh, there's so much, I don't know where we're going to put it all. So, Lana, how old are you today?
Getting younger every day, just like you, Midge. Why, you look like a teenager with that little pimple popping up on your chin. You know, I feel like a teenager myself. I feel so confident, so radiant, so me, I guess. Well, have a marvelous time. I know I will. Ta-ta, ladies.
I'm gonna go find her bedroom and throw up on her satin sheets.
Lovely Lana. Certainly full of herself this evening. Funny, she did sort of seem to glow, though, didn't she?
Yeah, like a toxic dump, Sini.
There they are, there they are.
Oh, God, here comes Ronnie. I'm still so angry with that little toad.
You. Oh, hi, you two. Isn't this exciting? So glad you could make it. Did you just get here? Oh, you missed Lana's song. I had no idea she could sing that well. I'm seeing Grammys. Where shall we put them? Where will she put them? Oh, isn't this fun?
Yeah, thrilling.
A blast.
I feel guilty having such a good time with Astral missing and all. Any word yet?
As a matter of fact, Ronnie, we know exactly where Astral is. Australia. Seems she's been blackmailed into some illegal scam.
What? Oh, it looks like Lana is gonna make a speech. Let's listen.
What a treat. I'm going to go find a drink. See you later.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here on this very special day. You know, many years ago, this must have been a very special day for my parents. The day I was born. It's always a special day when a new person comes into this world. Especially when they grow up into someone special like me. Someone who's been as fortunate as I've been. You're all very fortunate that you could be with me today. Once upon a time, I thought that I was no one. Now I can see that I'm all that really matters. That's not what I meant. What I meant was... Oh, what was I saying? Excuse me, could you step out of the way of that window? Yes. That's perfect. Now I can see every glorious inch of myself.
At that moment, Lana's gaze becomes fixed on her own reflection in the window. She raises her arm as if beckoning a lover. That's when I notice it. That radiant glow she seems to possess is coming from her hands. It's her polish. That same color as my 64 Chevy Malibu. Then before anyone could stop her, Lana runs at full speed toward the window. A huge crash, and then she's gone. Six flights down.
Sini,
Seanie!
It's the nail polish, Midge. Something about that polish.
Seanie, look what I found.
We don't have time to go through Lana's wardrobe right now. She just threw herself out the window.
Seanie, would you look at it? It's the Gucci bag.
So it is, Midge. So it is.
Some of her hairspray before we leave. Look at her hair, it's still perfect. In fact, I'm gonna go look through some of her stuff. It's probably just going to the Slavation Navy anyway. I'll be right back.
Wait a minute, Midge. Her hair looks good, but the rest of her, there's something different.
Seanie, you're kidding me. Gee, well, can't imagine why. After all, she only fell 6 floors and broke every bone in her body.
No, Midge, I know it sounds ridiculous, but she looks familiar to me. Like someone I knew in the past. Someone like,
Vivian Driscoll.
Vivian Driscoll?
Oh, come on, you remember? We used to run into her all the time at auditions. She never got the job. Ronnie wouldn't even take her on. Last time I saw her, she said she was going back to Kansas.
Tarzana Community Theater. I thought you said Tarzan.
Lovely lilies grow along the lakeside wall.
Water. Here, put your hands on my throat. Water. Rats. Why, my brother Jimmy and I used to play with rats because we didn't have toys.
Yeah. Yeah, now I remember. Some things just stick in your mind, like an annoying melody or how your old Aunt Viola's house always seems to smell like some weird sausage thing.
I don't know, Senia. I'm even starting to miss the tornadoes. You know what they say? There's no place like home. Listen, did you talk to Ronnie again for me?
Last time I mentioned you, she emptied her ashtray out in my purse. Why don't you try calling her again?
Well, I did. Yeah, she said I was the first in line. Right after she signs up the singing mime. I don't think she likes me very much. Oh, Seanie, if I just had the chance to showcase my skills. Maybe if I get this part in North Dakota, she'll come and see and I'll really shine. Knock her socks right off.
I don't think she'd bother putting her socks on, let alone show up for a show at the Tarzana Community Theater. In fact, what the hell am I doing here? That little toad.
Oh, Senia, I know somewhere deep inside of my very heart and soul I have the potential to be a really big, big, shining star.
Well, if your fairy godmother drops in and offers you a magic potion, I'd take it. Otherwise, you might start considering career alternatives.
But this is where my tremendous talent lies.
Oh, dear.
Okay, next up, Henry Miller. Let's go.
Come on. I am, of course, Gina Lollobrigida. Just kidding. Actually, I'm Henry Miller, and I will be performing one of course, the famulous tunes from the Infernal, North Dakota. This one is, of course, entitled, Get Your Crazy Trains Off My Beauteous Plains. Millie, accordion, please.
Get your crazy trains off my beauteous plains. Oh, Buffalo, get off my toe, off my big toe. Your pretty darn majestic stubby horns atop your head. If those crazy trains roll through, your family will be dead. Oh, Buffalo.
Thank you, that'll do.
Oh, my butt, that'll do. What do you think this is, Broadway? And just who are you anyways, Mr. Big Stage Director? Night Manager? The Taco Head? This is so far off Broadway. If the world was flat, we'd all fall right off, I tell you. Right off!
Okay, Driscoll, you're next. Let's go.
Break a leg, Viv, or a whatever.
Hit it, Millie? What a guy. He's oh so very hairy. Such a guy. His breath is kind of scary.
Thank you very much. That'll do.
That's it. Kansas City, here I come.
Well, I hope she had time to click her heels 3 times on the way down. Wow, what a way to go.
No, but what are we talking about? We would have noticed the resemblance a while before this.
Yes, but that's the point. The resemblance wasn't there. It's the polish, Midge. That's what I was trying to tell you. The polish has some special power that, when applied, can turn an ordinary dude like Vivian Driscoll into a superstar like Lana Levine. It not only builds their confidence, but it seems to improve their appearance dramatically. It must have a way of bringing whatever potential a person has to the surface.
Well, the effects of it must have worn off. That's the reason she's Vivian Driscoll again. I wonder who else isn't who they seem to be.
I suspect that the polish that Lana or Vivian or whoever is wearing is the same polish that Madame Mona keeps locked in a drawer in the back of her salon. Time to pay a little midnight visit to Madame Mona Lisa. By a payphone to check my messages before going to the salon.
Hi, Sini. Sini Rigatini. It's me, Pooh. Pooh Peoples. How can I call collect if you're not there? I suppose I can bill you, but I'm sure that's a bloody waste of postage. Any old who, I'll make this short. I found your girl, this astral trad creature. She was trying to obtain a legal business license. She wanted to open up a nail salon or some such nonsense. Not a very creative girl. She only had one colour polish. A whole case of it. Anywho, didn't take much work on my part. The authorities picked her up and they're holding her for questioning. She was carrying on quite a bit the last I saw her, talking to herself and babbling on and on. I don't know about you Americans. In fact, she was shaking so badly she spilled a coffee all over my silk suit. I expect to be reimbursed for dry cleaning. Ta.
Madame Mona's place is dark when we get there. We check the door. Locked. This is suspect because Madame Mona's is the only 24-hour nail salon in town. Shut up, Midge. There are a lot of mirrors in there, and you want to end up with 47 years of bad luck? Besides, if we keep leaving a trail of broken glass and dead bodies, somebody's bound to catch up with us.
Well, let's look for an open door or window before you pull out that stupid nail file again. I'd like to be home before dawn.
We go around back and slip through a door that's been left wide open. Thank God Midge's Ella Fitzgerald impersonation isn't necessary. We slip on our gloves to avoid fingerprints. The back storeroom appears to have been completely ransacked. Looks like they had some kind of laboratory set up in here. But any evidence, including our mysterious polish, is no doubt missing from the scene.
Let's check the drawer. Maybe they didn't take Madame Mona's private reserve. I'll get the light.
Okay, and I'll go turn the alarm system on. Are you crazy, Midge? We can't have any lights on in here. Give me your flashlight.
Use your own.
Have one either. What are we gonna do? Great. I need a cigarette. I can't find a match. Got a light?
Let me check.
At that moment, Midge pulls a .22 caliber pistol out of her purse and points it directly at my face. Then the pieces start coming together. Midge was in an illicit affair with the bishop, but she hated his infatuation with performance art, so she killed him. She put on a blonde wig and sent Astral Trad to Australia. She made Vivian Driscoll want to throw herself out the window in order to steal her Gucci bag. Now she's after the polish. She'll probably be on a flight later to Brazil, where she'll meet Fancy Nails and live happily ever after. The one thing that stands in her way is me. I make a plea for my life just before she pulls the trigger. Midge! Take me to Brazil with you and Fancy Nails! I won't breathe a word to the cops, I swear!
Shh! What the hell is the matter with you? Boy, you do need a cigarette. Here.
Don't shoot, Midge!
It's just a lighter I swiped from Lana's place. You mean you thought... Midge, take me to Brazil with you and Fancy Nails.
Shut up, Midge! Get over there and check that drawer, and I mean now.
Ooh, it's locked. Maybe I can blast it open with my pistol. Bang, kapow, bang, bang, you're dead, you drawer.
Well, since you've got the only light, check Madame Mona's table for the key. And hurry, we've got to get out of here.
Sini, come here, hurry.
What is it, Midge? Ouch.
It's Madame Mona. She's dead. Who's that woman next to her?
Look in her purse for some ID.
Let's find the key and get out of here.
Wait, I found her wallet and her purse. The ID says Vernon Krebs. Wait a minute. This is Veronica. Vernon, Madame Mona's husband, is Veronica the drag queen. Just like Vivian Driscoll turned into Lana Levine, I guess Vernon Krebs's potential lays in lace bras and lip syncing. I got the key now. Let's get out of here.
Ouch.
Ouch. Oh. We call call the police station to inform my Uncle Charlie about the sudden demise of Madame Mona and her transvestite lover. We keep the information about the mysterious polish to ourselves and decide to get it analyzed by Midge's friend Sherman.
So, what do you think, Sherman?
I think your eyes are pools of H2O, the pigment of a positive litmus test, and the cartilage in your nose.
Oh, cut the anatomy lesson, Sherman. What's in the polish?
Yes, yes, of course. Well, let's see here. I can have the results in about a week. Would next Tuesday be all right?
Well, actually, Shermy-wormy, we were hoping to have it sometime tonight.
I'm afraid that would be quite impossible. Quite impossible.
Oh, come on, Squirmy Shermy. Couldn't you do little old me just this little old favor?
Oh, stop it. Perhaps an agreement could be met. Whereupon party A, being yourself, compensates party B, being myself, by exchanging fluids of a personal nature?
It took me 15 minutes to unpry Midge's hands from around Sherman's neck. I stopped her right before she kicked him in his microorganism. He agreed to have the test results for us late tonight if we supplied him with the number of one of our swinging, sexy friends. We gave him Astral Trad's number. Before we leave Sherman's, I check my messages. Steve Trusty, the town's second-best private eye, has invited us to a party for Rick Ledick on some yacht in Purina Del Rey. We head over to Sal's bar before the party because Midge's nerves seem a little strained at the moment.
Oh, sure, I ran into a few stiffs while I was waitressing, but at least they were still breathing. But no, let's be creative, she says. Why sling hash when you can have fun and adventure in your life? Tripping over a dead drag queen in the dark is not my idea of fun. Another round!
Get a hold of yourself, Midge. What's the matter with you anyway? We've been waiting for a case like this for years. No more missing dogs and lost mail for us. This is big, Midge.
Here you go. Two more 95-cent specials for the big spenders. You know, happy hour ends in 10 minutes. You want me to bring the rest of the keg over so you can get it at a bargain rate? By the way, we don't take food stamps.
Just how many jobs do you have anyway? Would you consider giving me one of them?
Listen, Midge, we finally have something really juicy we can sink our teeth into.
I just want to sink my teeth into a handful of Valiums.
Later, Midge. I think this thing is about ready to crack anyway. Besides, we haven't even found who we were originally looking for yet. This Fancy Nails character must still be on the loose or the cash would have stopped coming.
How do we know Fancy Nails is just one person? Maybe it's a code name for a group of people.
It's possible, Midge, but whoever or whatever it is, it's still out there. We know that Lana Levine was blackmailing Astral Trad, but I'm sure she wasn't working on her own. Let's assume Lana agreed to the scam in exchange for a permanent supply of the potent polish. From the look of the back of Madame Mona's, the polish was being manufactured there until someone decided to change the location. And the manager, for that matter.
Meaning Madame Mona. And Vernon, too?
They may have intended to kill Vernon, but I think someone else took him out before they got there. Madame Mona got a dart in the neck like the bishop, but all we found on Vernon was coffee.
Oh, so what? Did he drown?
You got me, Midge.
Oh, think about it, Sini. From the way they argued, it was obvious Mona and Vernon were on the outs. Let's say he was experimenting with the polish and slowly starts turning into L.A.'s hottest drag queen. He becomes overwhelmed with his newfound fame and threatens to leave Madame Mona. And she flips out and goes into the old, if I can't have you, no one can routine.
And what? She drowns him in a cup of coffee? Maybe it was an accident. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. It just saved whoever killed Mona the trouble of having to get rid of him, too. And we're leaving somebody out of this scenario, Midge. Didn't it seem strange to you that a nail salon would have a bodyguard?
Victor! That big guy with the scorpion on his face. He certainly looks like someone who would bump off a bishop. Maybe he's Fancy Nails. Oh, hell, at this point I wouldn't be surprised if that waitress was Fancy Nails. Oh, Sini, I'm losing my poor little mind.
Just one more thing, Midge. When I looked in Vernon's wallet, I saw that his last name was Krebs. Does that mean anything to you?
It means he should have changed his name if he wanted to be a drag queen.
No, no, it sounds familiar to me. I just can't remember.
Look, happy hour is over. Let's go to the party. The drinks are free there.
Come on, Sini! They're doing the limbo!
Amazing. Her third pass under the limbo bar, and she still manages to get under it with a champagne glass balanced on her forehead. Cha-cha-cha, Midge. I decide to take advantage of the free bar action. I'd like a white Russian, please, and use the good vodka.
Maybe since the drinks are free tonight, you could perhaps tip me this time?
I tipped you last time.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. You gave me the resources to make a local call. Your generosity is truly astonishing.
Don't you think you have enough money? You have about 1,000 jobs. When do you find time to audition?
I'm not an actress. I just love people.
When I hear Midge request I want to be loved by you, I figure it's an ideal time to take a little stroll around the boat. I've never been on a yacht before. While making eye contact with a lobster through a porthole down below, I hear arguing in another room.
Look, you have had enough, Rick. Have a drink or something. Besides, they'll never dry in time for you to perform.
Come on, man. I need it. I'm not quite perfect yet. How about just the pinkies?
You may call me a finky, but I think it's stinky to do one dinky pinky.
Pinky, pinky, pinky! I'm sick to death of pinkies! Give me your hand. I'll do just one thumb, and that's all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
One fat thumb is no better than a crumb.
Shut up, Rainy. I'm so sick of dragging this bald bitch around with me everywhere I go.
Genghis is the one who planned all the fun. As soon as I get paid, I'll take the money and run. Until then, you're stuck with me.
Well, for now, you are still on the payroll, so go get me a drink.
A cold chill goes up my spine as I wobble up the stairs to the main deck. This thing is getting bigger and uglier as the minutes go by. Tippy Drake is definitely not the angel Steve Trusty seems to think she is. Forget Victor, the bouncer with a tattoo on his face. Maybe she's fancy nails. As soon as Midge gets her clothes on, maybe we can figure this out. At this point, two drunken minds are better than one.
Zini! You're just in time for the hokey pokey.
You put your right foot in.
Later, Midge. I was down.
And you shake it all about. Come on, Cindy. Shake it all about.
Shut up, Midge. I was just down below.
And you turn yourself about. Cindy, start turning. Start turning.
Snap out of it, Midge. Now listen, I was
That's
down.
That's what it's all about. Next verse, you put your right foot in.
Midge, I was down below and I...
Is everyone having a good time? I'd like to thank you all for coming tonight. As you know, we're all here in celebration of Rick's first album, Lead Poisoned Babies, going quadro platinum. You couldn't have told us after the release of this album a year ago that we'd be standing here tonight, celebrating over 400 million records sold. Everyone at Dino Disc would like to express their gratitude with this private party and concert. And now I'd like to... No introduction needed. Rick, they're all yours.
I feel great. You are the most beautiful audience I have ever seen. Do you know what the greatest part of an audience is? Their eyes. Because I can look into them and see tiny little reflections of myself. Now sit back, relax, and let me carry you into my world. Wait. I would prefer to do this a cappella. That way, all we'll be able to hear is my voice. My beautiful voice.
Midge, look at his nails. That's what I was trying to tell you.
The polish. Same color as that 64 Chevy Malibu you used to clunk around in.
Look at the way the lights are hitting the water. I can see myself perfectly. Those eyes, that hair. Has there ever been a man as fair? That nose, those clothes. If you know someone as beautiful, tell me where. Come to me, let me hold you in my arms. Come to me, let me drown you in my charm.
Oh my God, he can't swim.
I'll save him. Esther Williams, eat your heart out.
It took me 15 minutes to fish Midge out of the icy Pacific. Unfortunately, it's to no avail. Rick Ledick and his elusive image have already sunk to the bottom of the bay. Midge has obviously sobered up by the time I hoist her back on deck.
Oh, Seanie, how could you let me jump? Do I look like a lifeguard to you?
Nice try, Midge. Jacques Cousteau would have been proud. Grab a towel and let's get out of here. Tippy Drake has already split the scene. We've got to get over to Sherman's and find out what's in that polish before half this town ends up in the bay.
That concludes part 3 of Murder Under a Malathion Moon, with Aaron Connolly as Sinny Rigatini, Jackie Loebland as Midge Newton, Denise Poirier as Lana Levine, Peter Redenbach as Pooh Peoples, Margot Rose Thomas as the waitress, Dane Christopher as Sherman, Julie Segovia as Tippy Drake, Noelle McGrath as Rainey Underwall, Terry Gervin as Ronnie Wonder, and Greg Rainwater as Rick Ledick.